You're listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney from the nation's capital in Washington, D.C.
Welcome back. We are joined by one of my favorite people, Suzanne Schulte, the president of the Defense Forum Foundation and the vice co-chair of the U.S. Committee for Human Rights in North Korea. She is also the honorary chairman of a tremendously important operation, Free North Korea Radio, and the honorary co-chairman, as I understand it, of the 15th annual North Korean Freedom Week, which will get underway in another 10 days or so. Suzanne Schulte, thank you so much for taking a few minutes. It's great to have you with us. Welcome back.
Great to be with you, Frank.
So tell us a little bit about North Korea Freedom Week. As I say, you've been involved in this, and it's been going on for a decade and a half now. How have things changed on the ground in North Korea, and what are you seeing happening there now that makes this initiative so much more important?
Well, North Korea Freedom Week began in 2004. It was an event we put together on Capitol Hill to rally support at the time for the North Korea Human Rights Act, because back then the human rights atrocities were being committed in North Korea were just completely being ignored for the sake of engagement and trying to negotiate with North Korea to end their nuclear program. And it seems like the same thing going on today. But basically, that was the first North Korea Freedom Day on April 28th. It was the largest gathering at the time of Americans for the passage of the North Korea Human Rights Act. We had over 1,000 people gather on Capitol Hill. But the situation continued to be dire. So we expanded to a week. We've been doing it every week faithfully at the end of April to focus specifically on the freedom, human rights, and dignity of the North Korean people. And this particular North Korea Freedom Week, we're especially focusing attention on what the North Korean defectors are doing, which is one of the strongest weapons we have for peaceful change in North Korea, because it's the defectors that are leading the charge, in like Free North Korea Radio. It's a defector radio program. The rescues, the North Korean defectors have taken on the Underground Railroad and rescuing people. They're getting information through creative means like balloon launches, cross-border transfers. They're basically, this is the theme is the truth will set them free, because the North Korean defectors absolutely believe that if the people of North Korea understood the truth, that things would change overnight in North Korea. In other words, when they realize that Kim Jong-un is not a god, that South Korea is a prosperous nation, that America wants the same kind of freedoms and human rights for the people of North Korea that South Koreans and Americans enjoy, when they understand the truth, things, their minds completely change.
Let me ask you, Suzanne Schulte, about these defectors. It's been striking to me that they are doing the kind of work you're talking about. This is extremely dangerous stuff, is it not? And it's dangerous just getting to be a defector as well, and it seems increasingly so as the regime of Kim Jong-un has been taking pains to crack down even more, if that's imaginable, on the people of North Korea, especially those seeking to get out of there. Tell us a little bit about the defectors themselves and what they're facing at the moment.
What the Kim Jong-un regime did immediately when he took power in North Korea was he set about a very aggressive way to try to stop people from escaping, so that the number of people coming out has dropped dramatically. There's over 30,000 that have escaped, but it's so much more difficult to get out. And I believe that, you know, that's what is an affirmation, because it's all of these people escaping that have educated us to the point now that there's no doubt about the political prison camps. There's no doubt that crimes against humanity are being committed. It's these eyewitnesses that have told their stories that have made the world recognize that this is a dictator who's committing crimes against humanity. And thus, he does not want people to escape because of that. And he threatens those that do. For example, if there's somebody who's got family members back in North Korea, they're under steady guard and watch because they may have a family member that got to South Korea. So he's very threatened by those that have escaped because they're the ones that are bearing witness. But they've also taken up the cause. And I can tell you the people that are involved with North Korea Freedom Week are all on Kim Jong-un's assassination list, which again affirms, because what are they doing? All they're doing is getting information in. It may be radio broadcasting, it may be balloon launches, but it just affirms that he's afraid of the truth.
I was struck by the fact that last month, even the UN Human Rights Commission has decided that it's going to expand its mandate, as they say, to look into what's going on in the way of human rights abuses in North Korea at long last. But there's also information getting into the North that is, as you say, potentially game-changing, and it's happening both in ways and at levels that have not been seen before. Is that right?
Absolutely. They estimate that at least 60% of North Koreans are getting access to information beyond the regime's propaganda. And it could be just the leaflets that are going in through the balloon launches, or it could be the shortwave radio program that we do, or the USBs and SDs that defectors are smuggling over the China border. We have to use all these different means because, as you know, North Korea doesn't have regular electricity. So the balloon launches are important because those are leaflets that are coming in with information. The shortwave radio is very important. It can be heard in every part of North Korea, but we don't know how many people actually have radios. So we need to use all these methods to get information in. But it's definitely having an impact. I would say that the people of North Korea are far more educated. I would like to say that the Kim Jong-un's North Korea is not the North Korea of Kim Il-sung and Kim Jong-il, because there is so much information that's gone in. And one thing also I think that people need to recognize is that it's the North Korean people themselves that have created the market system that it's the reason why they're surviving. The public distribution system, which is how they controlled loyalty to the regime, everything passed through, food, material goods, all passed through this public distribution system, but that completely broke down. And North Korean women started the free markets that have propped up and are really how people are surviving today. The market-based economy was driven by the women trying to survive. So it just shows you the defiance of the people and trying to survive. And that's, to me, the most powerful weapon we have. And we're not utilizing it. And one thing that's really important right now, as you brought up the UN, but now that the UN Commission of Inquiry concluded what the defectors have been telling us for decades, that these crimes against humanity are occurring, atrocious human rights violations, how much more important it is for the government of South Korea and the Trump administration to make human rights a priority in any talks. And I'm very concerned that we've learned that the South Korean government isn't going to raise any human rights issues when they negotiate with them and at the summit that's coming up at the end of April. And this is just outrageous. It's the same mistake that we've been making again and again and again. And I think that Kim Jong-un is well aware that his days are numbered, and now this is his charm offensive to try to save his regime from collapse.
Right. We have, as you say, Suzanne Schulte, seen this movie before. This is exactly what he, to some extent, but certainly his father and his grandfather before him, did whenever they got into a real jam, and that was to turn on the charm offensive and use the West, including, I'm sorry to say, if you know this very well, the United States as well, to buy time, to buy concessions in the form of oil or other energy or money or political legitimacy or even food to keep the regime going. It hasn't worked out. At the same time, we keep talking about this is all in the nature of, or in the name of trying to reduce the nuclear threat, and yet it has only perpetuated it, alas. Suzanne, is there any reason to believe at this point, as President Trump is moving in the direction of the summit with Kim Jong-un, that we're going to find him subject to the same sorts of pressures and induced to make the same strategic mistake?
I absolutely fear that. I'm very glad that John Bolton is where he is, because I think John Bolton has a real clear view of this. He's the first ambassador at the UN that actually raised the North Korea issues, the human rights issues in North Korea back when he served at the UN. So I think he's much more clear-eyed about this. But what I worry about is that we fall into this trap, this charm offensive, because we think, oh, I'm going to be the diplomat that solves this issue. And we've seen that play out again and again. The North Koreans know how to manipulate and play us. They play on our good intentions and our goodwill. They don't come to the negotiating table with the same set of standards and guidelines that we have. I really fear that a Trump-Kim summit would further legitimize this regime. You know, you think about what happened with Assad. Would Trump sit down with Assad? I'm very concerned about that, unless significant changes are made. For example, releasing the Americans that are being held, allowing the Red Cross to visit the political prison camps and deliver humanitarian aid, accounting for the abductees. I mean, there's so many things that really should be prerequisites before we sit down with this man, because he is an evil dictator. And I'm afraid that less than that, we end up legitimizing him. This is exactly what he wants. This is going to play great in North Korea, in the brainwashing and the propaganda campaign. But the worst thing about not bringing up human rights in these negotiations and summits is this: it feeds the lie. The lie that Kim Jong-un tells his own people is they have to have nuclear weapons because we want to destroy them. And this lie is further fed when we don't raise our concerns about how the people that are suffering. I would say that is more important than the nuclear issue, because the only reason why this dictator is using all these resources to develop nuclear weapons rather than feed his own people is because it's a dictatorship that has atrocious human rights violations. So in some ways, you could argue the human rights is more important.
Suzanne Schulte, this is an enormously important work you're about. Of course, I congratulate you on the upcoming 15th annual North Korea Freedom Week in Seoul, South Korea. Tell us how people can find out more about that and more generally the work you do, Diane.
Our website is www.defenseforumfoundation.org, and you can learn more about North Korea Freedom Week, but also the radio program we do, Free North Korea Radio, which is a partnership between defectors there in South Korea that produce the program and Americans who help pay the shortwave transmission. It's a remarkable partnership.
Thank you, Suzanne. We have to leave it at that for today. We'll be back to talk to you afterwards. Thank you so much, and God bless. Next up, we'll have our weekly visit with Gordon Chang about developments in Asia. That and more straight ahead.